episode of After Dark Podcast. I'm your host, Josh, and I have to apologize to all of our listeners. Our last recording of our episode kind of screwed up. Our audio went bad, unfortunately. I blame Elijah and Nick since they're not here right now. Yeah. Nick is unfortunately at work, and real life takes over before podcasting, and Elijah's just busy on Monday, so I say we unanimously just blame Elijah. Raise your hand. I can't see anybody's hand.
I'm raising my foot.
I gave you
thumbs
up.
That's fine.
Okay.
That is completely fine. But today we are joined by Steven, the master of the taco stand. He finally came back to us because last time he was not here on our recording, so I might blame Steven.
But green card. No half.
Did it take a lot for you to hop the border to bring the taco stand?
What do you mean hop
with the green card?
Bringing the taco stand. I had to take tacos back there.
And then we got Andrew, the master of eating the string and playing with the cookie first.
What? Always.
Always. It's a weird world.
You've got to save your dessert for last, and you need to enjoy it.
Awkward silence.
I'm the best at those.
The fun killer. And then, of course, we are joined by our newest member, who will be a semi-regular, Miss Lexi. Yes, we have a regular girl on the show.
I know.
Steven, don't run away, and don't freak out.
You cooties.
How you doing today, Lexi?
Pretty good.
Don't worry. None of us are weird, except Andrew and his string eating habits.
I only bite if you ask me to.
And we have our resident ghost. We don't know what that is, but regardless, that's who's on the podcast with us today. And topics we're going to be covering is PlayStation 4 got revealed, which is pretty awesome, interesting piece of technology right there. All of us have our opinions about it.
Yeah.
Oh. That sounded like a sad oh.
It was more of, well, that's somewhat opinion, but we'll get into that.
We will get into that. And then we have, on our second break, the hot item of the week was the microtransactions being talked about by EA and whether they are good or not. Ugh. And then, of course, we'll wrap it all up with just some sad news about GameSpy and 1UP closing down, and whether we discussed on our first podcast about how maybe the game companies may or may not be in trouble. What about gaming journalists, though? But regardless, before we get to all that like we usually do, we're going to go individually, talk to everybody, see some updates, and question of the day. And question of the day is going to be, what was your first system you ever owned? Since the PlayStation 4 got revealed, but why not talk about our old systems and reminisce? And if you had a handheld, we'll go with the handheld, too. Since I'm betting Steven's first system was handheld, so.
Don't judge me.
I will not judge you. So, regardless, I'm Josh. Right now, I am currently playing Halo 4. Because, as I mentioned on our last podcast, sort of recording before it got blowed up, I was asked by the local university to go play Halo 4 and talk about it. And so I was training for the past week because I didn't want to make myself look like a fool on television. So I got there, and everything worked out. We started from pure scratch because there was no way to access Xbox Live. It was all local, so we had the worst loadouts ever. Can you say DMR with hard light shield? It was an atrocious. It was bad. So luckily, though, I brought my own controller. I was able to do that, and then I found out the worst news ever. You know what that worst news was, Andrew?
Maybe.
Cortana died?
No, we were using a projector screen. I couldn't even see the reticule.
Oh, projector.
That was so bad. I was firing just anywhere and everywhere. I was guesstimating, and I was so happy. I actually got first place in our Slayer match, and I went +6 in my KD spread. So
Ooh.
It was awesome. So thumbs up for me.
That's a small
and
round of applause. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one else? Okay.
No.
Man.
Not anymore. Man, this rough crowd.
Yeah.
And then, the rest of the part, though, was we played an oddball game, too, because we finished that one in 10 minutes. I got second because I don't play objective. I don't play oddball. I don't play king of the
hill.
He's just
hill.
Playing I don't
for
play
the killing, cap- like the homicidal maniac we all know and love.
Exactly. Sorry. Besides that, the cool part, though, was I was asked this week to come by Tuesdays and Thursday to go talk about gaming topics, including, like, gaming addiction, most influential games, all that stuff. So, really neat stuff, and, you know, getting my name out there, pretty neat stuff. But besides that, my first system was the PlayStation. While I may not be a hardcore PlayStation fan like I used to be for, like, the original one, I still have my old PlayStation. I've actually repaired it twice because I can't part with that thing. We're one, and it's not the PlayStation 1, that circular one. It's the actual cube, rectangle, thingy-mabobber.
The real PlayStation.
The real PlayStation, not its imitation clone. So,
like the slim PlayStation?
I've never been a fan of slim consoles.
Neither am I.
I've never really gotten that.
I like my regular PlayStation. It was all square and compact. I even remember my first game still, so.
A compact? I mean, it was square, but, I mean, I could kill somebody with that system.
No, you can kill somebody with a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox. I mean, I'm sorry, that's what kept...
I could kill someone with the dull spoon.
Just gotta know where to hit.
Not my fault. So, regardless... Since Lexi is our new guest and semi-regular today, we will start with her. So, how you doing today, Lexi? And tell us a little bit about who you are, favorite game series, what system you started with, and just what game you're playing right now.
Well, favorite game series, I honestly have no clue. I've got, like, so many... The ones that I'm into right now are Uncharted. I'm playing Castlevania, finally, Lords of Shadow. I had that game for 2 years. I never opened it, and I finally made myself sit down and play it. So I'm actually going through that so I can actually, you know, understand, too, because it looks pretty boss. First system is going to show my age, because I'm probably older than all of you. I had a Nintendo. I still remember playing the old Zelda. Of course, I'm three, just kind of running around in a circle, not knowing what I'm doing, but it was still a lot of fun. Probably after that, though, I would say when my uncle sent us his 64, like, because we moved so much since I lived in, like, Germany and all that. I was an army brat, so we never really got to have a lot of gaming systems. I did have a Sega Genesis at one point, though. I remember that. So Sonic is, like, my favorite character from, like, all time. But he's not my favorite game, so... I just...
Yeah.
Characters. It's really about it. I mean, I don't know. Like, with favorite video games, I mean, I find, like, pros and cons in all of them. So I guess that's why I just don't have, like, an ultimate favorite. Well, I will just kill everybody because your opinions are wrong about that game. I don't know.
I think that's a pretty good summary.
Yeah.
And just for everybody's information, I've known Lexi. I worked with her at the same store back when I was just a teenager. Remember the good old days?
Yeah.
I still remember when you almost killed Megan.
It's all right, man. It's all right. She deserved it.
She did deserve it.
She did. But sadly, did. I do not work at that store anymore. I have been moved.
Sad day.
Yeah, sad.
That sounds like a sad. Ha, 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 sad. But
no, I do miss that place. I do. I mean, yeah, even though we moved from, you know, across the way to where it is now, I do miss it. It is my home store. I miss that store.
Yeah. So, before we move, Steven, Brohoof? All the Brohoofs?
Sure. Why? What?
Yes. Brohoof between me and Lexi.
Woo!
Not you, Steven.
Oh, okay.
Woo!
Anyway, so, moving on to Steven. Steven, how you doing today?
There's snow. Need I say more?
See, we were supposed to have snow last week, and yeah.
You believed that... it. You believed it.
Come
and
on,
that's
Heather,
what killed
get
me.
Your shit
you want
again.
Snow? I will. You can trade. Let's trade. You can come live here, and I'll go live there, and you can shovel the snow.
That's fine with me.
Good.
You say that
no.
now.
Yeah, no, it ain't happening. I don't like snow. It's fun the first 2 days, and then it's boring.
Yeah.
So, anyway, though, Steven, what game are you playing right now, and first console, handheld, whatever gaming device you own first?
Okay. I had an original Game Boy, the square thing, rectangular thing.
The brick.
The brick, exactly.
Did it scare thieves coming in your house that it might kill them?
We never got robbed, so I never had a chance to find out. Maybe that had something to do with it. I'm not sure.
Oh, you poor soul, you were never robbed.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think you're
knock
the
on wood.
Yeah, I'm knocking on wood, too. No, I don't think I've been robbed either. Yeah,
well,
Andrew.
Either, but, you know.
You insane person. Regardless, we'll get to you in a minute. So, anyway, though, Game Boy, do you even still remember your first game?
Paperboy.
Yes, I remember
Paperboy. And then Mega Man 3, I believe.
That's some old school right there.
Yeah.
I approve. Well, what game are you playing right now?
Currently, okay, I've been obsessing over the Lords of Shadow demo for 3DS.
Yeah.
I played the thing to the ground. And then on the side, I've been playing Etrian Odyssey 4, sort of an old school RPG.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. That came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Interesting game. So
how is it?
If you like old school RPGs where you move one screen at a time through a dungeon, it's good. You make your own map, you have your character classes, and you level them up. So it's my type of thing. But
okay.
That sounds fun.
That sounds pretty boss.
It is.
Yeah.
Just
thanks.
Not as fast as some people would like. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Thanks, Steven. And now we move on, third and final person alongside us tonight, not counting me because I'm the host, Andrew. And because our old podcast just audio didn't work, I'm still going to make sure your birthday has a shout out. So happy belated birthday!
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Yay! So, what game are you playing right now? And very first system, console, handheld gaming device. Even if it was the Virtual Boy, you can admit it. We're here.
It wasn't. Well, the game I'm still playing right now would be Just Cause 2. Happy Hookshot Fun Times.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Remind me, you're not allowed to touch my car.
Yeah, that... You know, it still ran after that, alright?
It was missing its car doors.
It still had four wheels. Still ran through the forest perfectly fine.
It was missing the hood.
It was fine. We're moving on.
Moving on. Regardless, what was your first system? Handheld. Well, whatever.
Handheld, my first system was the Game Boy Color. And
oh, yeah.
And yes, the first game I played on it was one that remains one of my favorites to this day. First generation Pokemon Red.
Ah, yeah, that's the one I have. Yep.
Yes.
We all...
Mind
yep.
you, I mean.
Yep. And
there's a special place for the original Pokemons in all of our hearts.
In everybody's heart.
Yep. Even with Elijah and Nick.
Even in Osama bin Laden. He loved the Pokemon.
Yeah,
dearly.
But he liked Grimer, though.
Disappoint.
I know, so full of disappointment. But you were going to mention a console, too?
Oh, yes. My first console after that was the 64. Classic fun times. And
of course.
I stuck with Nintendo for a while after that.
And then you moved on to PlayStation.
Then I moved on to PlayStation, and I regretted that. You know, looking back now.
But the PlayStation 2 was a pretty great system.
It was.
So it was the PlayStation.
Well, yes. The PlayStation 2 was alright. I was referring more to the PlayStation 3.
This generation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yep.
Makes sense. So that's pretty much everybody, though, on this podcast right now in that update, because unfortunately, like I said, Elijah is off doing something. So he's a ghost right now, just like the first podcast. And Nick is at work. So with that said, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the PlayStation 4 reveal and just our initial feelings, thoughts, and concerns. And was that a puke?
No.
This seems like it's going to be very interesting now. So stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody, to the first segment of our podcast. Before we hop on to the PlayStation 4 and a roundtable about it, just want to update y'all on some game announcements coming up and some games that were just released. First one we want to talk about is the travesty that was Alien Colonial Marines. Man, so hyped up about that, but the average score for it right now is an F-. Everybody has said, do not buy this game. Even Kotaku was like, hell no, over just their regular no. It was a bad game. What we were shown in the demo was not what was released. So, unless you find it in the bargain bin for free, don't buy the game.
I don't know. I think I'd want someone to pay me to play that.
I don't think anybody could pay me to play that game. I've heard that bad things about it. So, next one was Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance, and that's been holding a pretty solid B minus. Grade. Everyone's roughly grading it or rating it in the 85 to 80 range, saying it's a great game, couple problems with it, but outside of that, they say it's a high replayability, high action game. They say it really reminds them of the new DMC, and that as a new genre to Metal Gear, it could open up a lot of doors. So, and then the last one was Crysis 3, which is holding about a C+, like a 77, 78. And a lot of people said, while it looked pretty, there was a lot of gameplay issues with it. So out of the games we told, I'd probably go with Metal Gear Rising from what we were talking about. So, and luckily, though, upcoming, for the first time in a long time, 2013 has a great March schedule. Usually March is the wrap-up of the holiday season before we go into a summer drought, but on March 5th, they have a ton of games coming out. Tomb Raider for the 360, Windows, and PS3. Sim City for Windows and Mac. Naruto Shippuden. Even though I hate Naruto, I know a lot of people who play it, and this is just for them. They asked me to put it in. So for Xbox 360, though, and PlayStation 3, Amazing Spider-Man for Wii U, and Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate for the 3DS.
Finally.
Yeah, those all come out on March 5th, and that's pretty intensive list.
Big release
compared
date.
To
lots of business.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, it means my wallet's going to be very empty.
Mine's already crying.
Mine's already crying because I'm saving up for BioShock Infinite.
Oh, so it is coming out then, right? They're not going to push it back like 2 days before. Sorry, guys, ran into a problem.
Don't say that. They might do that. They might do it at the midnight release and be like, sorry, guys, we're pushing it back.
Oh, they better not, because I think I will cry myself to sleep if that happens, because I'm going to have
minor
so
riots.
Many angry fanboys.
Minor riots because of the late release.
Burn the game store.
No,
take
no,
the game.
No. Where would I go?
I mean, we already had to deal with it with Fire Emblem for the 3DS, because reason they pulled back all of those games and then like released just a few at a time. It's like, oh god.
Did you sell out?
Yeah, every time. Like, we get one in every once in a while and we sell it like 5 minutes later because somebody walks in, hey, you got the new Fire Emblem game? Yeah, sure do. Just got it in. Great, I want it. So I was just like, oh man, they better not do that. I think if they did, I'm done! And just throw everything down and walk out.
Your badassness will take over, and you'll just flip some tables. And you know what they're going to do? This is what's going to happen. They're going to say, we're going to push it back. But as a consolation, everybody gets a free copy of Alien Colonial Marines.
Oh. Did I mention riots?
Is that grounds for a lawsuit?
It's EA. I mean, everything they do is a lawsuit. So
yeah, that's true.
I mean, they wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, new lawsuit. What's this one about? Angry, irate fans. So
throw it in the pile.
But yes, to answer your question, Lexi, we are really hoping that it does not get delayed.
I hope
it has not. It has not gone platinum yet. So here's hoping.
They promised. They promised. So
they promised. But
they
that
promised. But
so did Star Wars 13.
Yeah,
but so did Star Wars 13.
3 for Half Life. So you know, promises.
We're still waiting on Kingdom Hearts
point.
3 too. So.
Oh God, I'm gonna be 80 by the time that game comes out. And then it's going to be like, oh, watch the secret trailer for 4, and then in my will I'm going to tell my grandchildren, please play that game for me and tell me how
I
it is.
Buried with me.
Gordon Freeman's going to be... Gordon Freeman's not going to have a crowbar. He's going to have a walker by the time they finish making it.
Oh, God, I know.
He'll still be badass.
Of course. So, but... all of our jokes aside and EA comments that we can save for the next segment because microtransactions. Let's talk about a little bit about the PlayStation 4. That happened, I believe, about a week ago. Maybe a little over a week ago.
Yeah, like a week and a
half.
That's
about right.
Yeah, about a week and a half ago. And Sony came out with a very sophisticated conference and not versus an E3 flashy fireworks showy one. And revealed essentially the PlayStation 4. By reveal, I mean they showed the controller, the specs for it, just the basic specs, and they showed the actual programs to it. They didn't actually show the system itself or the playability with it, per se, but they showed a lot of tech.
It was less of a reveal and more of a striptease. Like, oh,
yes.
Here's a little something to get you excited. We're not going to show you the real deal yet, but...
Well, keep in mind, it's a PlayStation. You don't actually care. All you care about is what it looks like when sitting on your shelf.
Mm.
But
I'm
it's pretty.
To look a little bit
but we don't know that yet.
I just don't clean it
and
enough.
That's the problem.
Well, regardless, though, what did y'all think of the actual PlayStation 4 reveal? The actual content. Did you find stuff good? Did you find stuff bad? Like, what was your initial thoughts after the conference? Did it make you scream, I want to buy this system? Did it make you scream, I want to wait till E3? Did it make you think, like, maybe Sony will be much better advantage over Microsoft or Nintendo or Apple, if they are Apple with the Ouya, if that's how it's pronounced right?
Apple will not come out with one.
No.
I don't care what Apple says. Mm. Steve Jobs is dead, so is Apple. So there.
Pretty much.
I think that's true, too. I just want to mention them because they still have the mobile gaming and all that. But regardless.
They do. I'm not going to lie. They do. But I don't think that they will ever, ever have a console as big as, like, Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo.
Not.
But Nintendo's kind of dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo talked about that. They just need to stick to their
in the dedicated console section, they're definitely dying. The handhelds, I think they're still dominating.
Yeah. I agree there with that. But, I mean, we talked about that. Unfortunately, that was a lot in our last podcast that just was not able to. We said that Nintendo is if they don't fix their act, they're going the route of Sega. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens if they don't. But regardless, though...
No, I mean, they'll still make their money because they have their handhelds, and that's what they're dominating in. Because I do have a Vita, and I do have a 3DS. I play my 3DS more than my Vita. Why? Because it has more games, it has the games that I like, and they're constantly bringing out the big-name games. What has Vita done in the last 6 months that made me go, I gotta buy that game? They haven't brought anything out.
Well, speaking of the Vita, though, with that, though, PlayStation 4 did reveal that the Vita is supposed to hook up to the PS4, which I'm going to be the first one to call bullshit on that because the architectures are completely different unless they're using a custom thing. And even then, I don't think it's going to flow that smoothly on it. I could be wrong, and I'm open to be wrong, but that one concerned me a lot. That kind of was like, here's your bad news. You can do this, but it's kind of going to be like the gamepad for the Wii U. I don't know. That was one of those things that just stood out to me.
I don't know. Like, I have mixed feelings about the PS4 because I love, you know, Sony, but it's just, I don't know. I need to wait, and I will probably wait like 2 years before I actually buy another console and kind of gauge on who's bringing out what and what games I want to play.
Now, I have a question. Now, I have a question for you. Not to interrupt. I apologize.
No, fine.
I know you're a hardcore PlayStation person. How has that been? I know Andrew and I discussed it on just from casual chats that have you been pushed away from Sony in the PlayStation 3 era? Like, did this conference give you reassurance that Sony will be around? Or are you really weary of, I'm going to wait a year when all the systems are out before I make a decision? Is Sony swaying you, per se?
Not really swaying me. I guess I'm content with what I have right now because I finally got to the point where I do have both systems. I do have an Xbox and I do have a PlayStation 3. But I'm kind of I always gravitate more towards my PS3, and that's because Xbox is really pissing me off. I'm paying for your internet, your server and stuff. Please stop putting ads on my fucking page. I'm sorry. That aggravates me to no end. And I like Sony because I'm not bombarded with ads of crap that I don't care about. I don't care about this movie. I don't care about your music videos. I just want to play a game. And I think that's why I'm kind of like, do I really want to pay for internet or do I want to wait to see what Sony has to see if they're going to still do the free internet with, you know, the you can pay for it and we give you free stuff, but you don't have to. And I'm weary because I'm not getting a Wii U. I'm done. I'm just going to stick to handhelds with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So now it's between Microsoft and it's between Sony, and I don't know which one I want to do. I'm scared for Microsoft because if they go strictly to new games and you can't, you know, borrow games or buy used games or anything like that, I will drop them in a heartbeat and I will not look at their system and I will buy a PS4. And that's what I'm waiting on. What are they going to tell me that makes me go, nope, sorry, I'm done? Because if I can't trade in my games, what's the point?
Well, okay, let me ask you this then. What about backwards compatibility?
I don't care.
Because you don't care about backwards compatibility?
No, because honestly, at first, I'm not going to lie, I did care when PS3 said you can play the PS2 games. I was like, great, okay. That's awesome. But I never played a PS2 game on my PS3. I went strictly to PS3. And when people yell at and complain and say, well, I wish they had backwards compatibility, honestly ask yourself, will you go back and play those old games? Probably, but it'll be months down the line when you have nothing to do.
I agree with that assessment. Would it be fair then to say that Sony should come out with like an adapter?
Yes.
Be like, pay $100, $150, and you can play your old games, all three, PlayStation 3, 2, and 1.
Yeah.
And that way, it doesn't add to the cost of the initial system, and it'll probably be a cash cow.
That would be brilliant if they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing if Microsoft did the same thing. If they're not backward, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they will be backwards compatible, but it makes me think the same thing of, that is, it's a big selling point for people, is backwards compatibility, along with how powerful a system is in the graphics. Those seem to be the top three.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, and I can understand because when the new games come out, you don't have money for the new games. So, I mean, I can see why everybody's like, oh, backwards compatibility, I still want to play my old games. But I don't care. Because I will get new games, and eventually, why did I spend $600 on a system that I don't even use the backwards compatibility on anymore?
That's true. What last question before I move to Steven with his opinions on the PlayStation 4. When you mentioned like the backwards compatibility too, is it fair then to tell PlayStation 3 owners such as yourself or Andrew, I don't know if Steven has a PlayStation 3. I don't think he does. Do you?
Nope.
Okay, I don't either. Is it fair to say that you have to completely buy everything because the streaming's not going to work, controllers will not work? Like, it's going just beyond the games itself, but the actual hardware. Is that fair to tell your fans and your followers? Or is that go back to you just don't care?
No, I mean, honestly, it's a new system. People want new stuff. So if they have to buy new controllers, they don't care. I mean, I've seen it before with, like, the Wii U when I sell it. I mean, they get excited about that tablet controller. Is it the best controller ever? No, it's the biggest, clunkiest thing I've ever held in my hand, and I hate it. But they love it because it's different. And yeah, they can sync their old controllers to the Wii U, but they will buy a new tablet controller if they ever release one just to have two. I mean, I don't think it would really matter.
Yeah. Makes sense. What are you feeling about this, Steven?
Backwards compatibility really doesn't matter to me, regardless. Now, I need to preface this. I'm not a big PlayStation person. I had a Vita. I had a PSP. Those both got sold back. Like, I had the PSP for quite a while. The second I got the second iPod Touch came out, my PSP was gone. So I'm not really a PlayStation person. Backwards compatibility, honestly, if you're that worried about it, you can go get the console. I picked up a refurbished PS2 a while back to play through Kingdom Hearts again for like $50 or something with games.
But how long ago was that?
Like a year?
Okay. I only say that and I'm not criticizing or anything like that. I think more of like 20 years down the line, well, what if I want to play...
20 years down the line, I hope.
Maybe even maybe 5 or 10 years, even that. Just more of, do I want to find another system or something like that? To me, it's a selling point, but regardless, could continue.
Well, like graphics was the main thing for me. And looking at it, the PS4 is geared to the hill for graphics, but I don't know that I would go out and put any money down on it.
You want to see more from
E3 really
before
do.
You make
I would
decision.
Like to actually see some. Especially, I would like to. First, I want to see their lineup also. Because PlayStation has this habit of they'll put out the system, and then I won't see anything I want to buy to play for like a year.
Yeah, but I will say, to their credit, that's every system, though. I mean, they'll have one or two big launch titles, and then they won't have anything for the next year.
Yeah, but even PlayStation 4 didn't really have big launch titles either, and that's another thing that turned me off from it.
Because you can get most of them on current gen.
Right. I don't know. It's weird. I'm iffy about this, and it makes me sad.
I mean, it's surprising. I know you're a hardcore Sony fan, and to hear you say it's iffy is usually it's a step from usually what I hear of. I love Sony. Fangirl squeal. Ah!
Yeah.
But, I mean, that, like I said, I'm worried too in the sense of it, but what's your feelings, Andrew?
Well, for me, backwards compatibility that we've been talking about isn't a huge issue for me.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years down the line, I might be worried about it, reminiscing about some of the better games I've played and thinking, oh, it would be great to pick this up again. Well, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
No one's got it. Okay, here's a copy on eBay. Are you kidding? $200 for that? No. I can see that happening easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time... Well, it's kind of a mixed reaction, I guess, since I can see how it would be important and aggravating to some people if it's not there.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not a breaker.
Yeah.
For me, I'm more about the power of the machine and what the specific hardware can do.
And even then, we and you were just talking about that. And
exactly. We were talking about that recently, and I got into looking it up. And looking at past examples, I've noticed that Sony has usually fallen behind Microsoft in terms of power in their consoles.
And for our listeners, just as a translation, because Andrew had to completely explain this from college level to a kindergarten level to me, what he means by power is mean how well you can run your game, like how smooth the game is, not the actual power of the system of, oh, PlayStation can run Blu-ray versus a DVD. That completely different thing. This is more of
nothing to do with format.
It's much cleaner and less frame lag and all that to run Skyrim, for example.
Yeah, frame lag,
360
loading times, etc.
Yeah. Versus on the PS3. Same thing with Mass Effect 3.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And That, for me, Andrew, I do agree. That's one of my big sell ones, too. If I, power is one of those things, and I want a game to run smoothly. I don't want a game to trip at the finish line every single 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Or,
like Two Worlds, where you just have that really horrible frame rate.
Two
yep.
Worlds.
Oh.
Two Worlds. The poor man's Oblivion.
Yep, that's what it was. And it still
yeah,
is.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Man.
It was still fun, though. Having, played both, I can say it was fun.
But you prefer your Elder Scrolls.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, before we move on to our next topic, here was a couple things I noticed from that conference. One was, of course, Blizzard being announced with Diablo 3 for the PlayStation 4. While Diablo 3 was not that great of a game, let's face it, Blizzard in itself wanting to publish on the PlayStation 4 could be a make-or-break thing for a lot of people. That to me, that's big enough of a, yeah, your game sucked, but just having the presence of a company there.
It's the name. Having them
the name is there
with the company will definitely help.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a big... That would be a selling point to a lot of people. And whether that's good, bad, I don't know. The other part was, it just seems like a lot of stuff that Sony wants to do is the share options and reaching out to a lot of people and wanting to connect more. Not per se, like, they're moving into a social gaming area, kind of like a social Facebook,
right.
Kind of sort of, it seems like. And I think a lot of people like the appeal of that, being able to hop into games to share, being able to share their videos or screenshots on it, like a file share versus not being able to previously, having to buy custom equipment and all that. That and the third one was, of course, being social chat, which has never been on the PlayStation before, versus Xbox, who's always had it. But, those were my initial thoughts. But wrapping it up, though, for me, when I saw it, I didn't buy a PlayStation 3 because it was too expensive then. And when I saw this, when I saw the controller, it kind of screamed expensive. I don't see how they will keep this under $399 at all. I think it's going to be $450.
No,
pushing
I think
it up
projected price right now is $599 or $399.
Ooh,
yeah.
$200 difference up to $600. That's way too much.
That's a lot.
I mean, you guys got to remember too, when PS3 first came out, it was $500 and $600.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise me that they're going to do this huge, like, oh, this is how much, you know, $600, $700. I mean, I figured as much, and that's why I think I want to wait, because after 2 years, it's going to drop in price, because
right.
they're going to take out all this stuff
right.
that nobody's using.
Well, even then, I think of it more along the lines of, like, the Xbox and the two different ones it had. So I think it was, like, a $100 difference, but... It was the bare bones versus the actual gaming experience. You want to pay for the more, otherwise you're going to be paying more in the end to catch up with all the stuff, such as to get the hard drive and the extra controllers and
right.
anything else. So you want that six. I don't see how that could sell. I mean, that hurt Sony last time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But, if that's the case right now, as I said, I'm waiting for E3. But if it was a here and now for me, I would not buy it. I would wait 2 years, maybe three, and I may not even buy it, just like I'm on the PlayStation 3 of. I just don't have the interest or the wallet size to get a PlayStation 3 versus the Xbox. What about y'all?
Yeah, I'm in the same crowd there. I would definitely be waiting a year or two to get the next generation.
Yeah. What about you, Lexi? Same thing?
Same thing. Yep. I want to see what they're going to do. But I think the problem is that a lot of people are content with the systems that they have right now. And
yeah.
I don't think they're going to rush out and buy these new systems. The problem is they're all freaking out because Nintendo brought out the Wii U. But what they fail to see is that the Wii was a horrible flop. They had to bring something else out because everybody was getting bored with it and trading it in for a PS3 or a 360.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't directed to the market either. I mean,
no.
Numbers showed it. I mean, yeah, the Wii is directed to the Japanese market, but just because you sell worldwide the most consoles. I mean, it was an astronomical amount. I think it was like 140 million Wiis to like 77 million PS3s and 76 million 360s after all this time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it the best system. It was sold to the non-casual gamer
right.
wanting to work out, and it that flopped.
Yeah.
So, but... And, Steven, you agree to kind of the same thing of if you were to buy a PS3...
I'm cheap.
Wait,
as, like I said,
oh,
I just bought a PS2.
Yeah, so
but,
I'm sorry, PS4, though.
But. Yeah, I know. But, like I said, I don't know what really anything is coming out. I thought about getting a PS3 or 3 for the longest time, and then I hear
yeah.
news of PS4. I'm like, ah! Because now I'm wondering, okay, are they going to stop their any sort of... I'm wondering if any major publishers are just going to stop working for PS3, like developing any titles for PS3, and they're all going to be focused on PS4 now.
Yeah.
It's possible, since apparently people
yep.
don't like producing for PS3
mm-hmm.
as much as for other consoles anyways.
Well, that has changed, though, because remember, Microsoft did have Dead Space, Mass Effect, BioShock, and I think initially Elder Scrolls. I could be wrong on that one. Exclusive to the 360, and Microsoft has gotten on the bad side of a lot of companies right now. So, it's not. I think the companies are stuck in a rough place of we don't want to develop for the PS3, but we don't want to deal with Microsoft.
And there's
and
no way,
and
we can't develop for Nintendo because they're not really in the game.
Yeah.
Well, the Wii U has finally brought HD graphics, so maybe they'll think about it.
Yeah, it just took them, you know, 7 extra
oh,
years,
you know.
But. Wrapping this segment up, though, let's head into our break, and when we come back, we will talk about microtransactions. Does EA just want us to hate them?
It's been done. I hate EA.
Yeah,
it's been done. So we're going to take a break here, and we will come back in a couple minutes. We're back after this wonderful break, and as we do in our usual second segment, we are going to answer Q&A. As I mentioned before, because we were unable to answer the questions from the last podcast because of audio issues, we're going to try and answer them now. So one of the questions was asked was pretty much to me. I mean, none of y'all can really answer it. No offense. You'll understand when I say it. From Tyler from the page, and he asks, why did I call it After Dark Podcast? Initially, I was thinking it as a space theme. After Dark is when a lot of people play video games. They don't play it during the day anymore. Gaming's also not at the height during the day. It's usually in the evening time. And I wanted a space theme, but even now I've been thinking about changing the name. It just doesn't flow right, and I'm kind of leaning towards changing it to Overshield Podcast. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out. After Dark is still the name until I figure out a better name for it. So I like it, but at the same time, it may be something different. So we'll see. But moving on to the next one, when I roll the dice and... Ah, perfect. Lexi, you get a question, and this is actually great.
Woo!
We discussed this a lot before, and what you actually get to throw your opinion in on it is, do you think Nintendo is failing hard right now? Do you see Nintendo's future being bright? Do you see it mediocre? Do you think Nintendo's in trouble?
Honestly, I see them in trouble.
Why is that?
I see them in trouble. Well, I mean, I love their handhelds. I do. I just hate their consoles. The Wii failed because it didn't have the games that I wanted. I wanted my Assassin's Creed. I wanted my Mass Effect. I wanted all those, but it went to family... friendly, and the Wii U is trying to bring the ones that lost back, like, look, I have Darksiders, and I have your Mass Effect, and I have your Assassin's Creed, but I don't care at this point. I have a PS3, and I have a 360. I'm happy with those, and I don't need you. And I don't like their tablet controller. It's too big and bulky, and I do see them kind of fizzing out, much like the Sega Dreamcast did. Once Sony and Microsoft come out with their new system, I think it's going to completely kill them.
I think that's true. I want to add in, because we talked about it again on our other one, was I think that was Sony's biggest blunder, per se, is letting Microsoft stay in the race. And now Microsoft may actually not, per se, win the console war, like, outright, but just staying in enough has caused problems and just pushed Nintendo back even more.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I agree there. I think they'll survive as a handheld, but if they don't change their market from gimmick to actual what people want to buy, yeah, they have the affordability, but I agree with you. I see a lot of problems with it, too. So, and our last question is actually goes to Andrew.
Oh, goody.
And it's relating along the same question but different. This is from Chad. And we Chad will be a semi-regular member alongside Lexi, as well as alongside Sean, who we've had on earlier podcasts. But he asks, what is the appeal of handhelds? How can you play a handheld versus a system? He doesn't get being able to play a handheld, just sit down and play one, except like on long travel trips or car rides and all that.
All right. Well, that is one of the biggest ways to enjoy them, as something to pass the time when you don't necessarily have something else. Nowadays, handheld consoles also have to contend with smartphones, tablets, even laptops. People can use them in the car now, and they'll last for a good 4 or 5 hours, longer than that even. But other than that, the main appeal of a handheld console is that it is portable, and then you can easily take it over to your friend's house and show them what you're doing in real time. I did mention this before, that with a handheld console, portability. Let me start over. The handheld console is just that. It's just the console. There's no wires. There's a game pack in the back. Nowadays, it doesn't even show up, or it blends in perfectly. And you have no cables or wires to carry around and set up. You have no bulky casing to deal with. They mostly fit in your pocket. Mostly. Sometimes they stick out. Sometimes they fall out. But, you know, put them in your pocket at your own risk.
Right. Okay.
But
just like
it. The thing is, you can't put a PS3 or an Xbox in your pocket.
Yes, you can. You just have to have really big pockets.
You just have to fold it up a couple times.
Hey, you're talking to the same guy who knew Steven here back in high school, who he had, like, his phone, a DS, a sandwich, a TV changer on his jacket, and people were just like, how do you have this reality-bending jacket?
It's bigger on the inside.
Because it was designed for the Army.
That's not the point. Hush you. Stop revealing your secret.
What is this logic?
Regardless, I understand that, so let's move on to our second segment, though. EA and microtransactions. Oh, EA. I'm not going to lie. When I saw that news story of EA saying they're going to put microtransactions in everything, I kind of laughed and said, well, I guess EA's not in the game. But I know, that was cheesy, I know, but still, well, I saw this, and it made me think, does EA just try to get people to hate them? Because I played through Dead Space 3, as you all know. Lexi, did you play through Dead Space 3?
I'm playing through with a friend currently, and it is a mind trip. I'm just going to say that right now. I love that game. Like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I it's a lot of fun when you're playing with somebody else, because I love hearing, did you hear that? No, I didn't hear anything. What are you talking about? I heard somebody say daddy. No, you're losing it. And then, like, going into a room and he's picking up a toy soldier that I can't see that he swears is there. It's the best feeling ever that they're going crazy and you are fine. So I'm loving that game, but I just wish it wasn't with EA.
Maybe that's the experience that they were going for when they decided to make a horror survival game multiplayer.
Yeah.
That the two people playing will drive each other crazy, and we don't need to make a game that does it.
No, and that's what it is. I mean, especially when the doors open and, you know, Isaac's dead girlfriend is right there and I'm freaking out and he's going, I don't see anything. What are you freaking out about? I mean, it's the best thing ever.
Dude, what are you smoking?
Yeah.
It's pretty good to share. But...
You know, you guys what? Be crazy together. It's okay.
Woo! The point I was getting with it, though, was the microtransactions are in Dead Space 3.
Yeah.
And... You know, I wanted to see how they were, and I spent for a microtransaction one time. And it unlocked an achievement, so, you know, yay me. But
yeah, it did.
I looked at it, and it seems like if microtransactions were that, as in an extra part of the game that did not have any effect on the story, the campaign, specifically multiplayer or anything like that, it'd be fine. But on the flip side of it, it seems like EA's track record has not been good the past 5 years, and Elijah showed it to me, and there's a mobile game that EA bought, yay EA, that essentially you have to pay to get your oil changed, and to actually increase your time to oil change. Like, it starts off in 5 minutes, but each time you get an oil change, you have to constantly repair your car. It's an extra 5 minutes, soon you're up to like 2 hours, 3 hours of oil change and all that, unless you pay like a dollar. And that's a microtransaction. Then I think of the Final Fantasy game that came out for mobile, where if you die, you pay a dollar and you revive. I don't see microtransactions as a good thing. Maybe I'm in my own island here. Because Elijah and I keep joking that he keeps calling me Magneto because I only see the worst in video game companies. I keep calling him Professor X because he only sees the best in video game companies, and he keeps giving them a chance. But I'm like, for EA in general, though, it's more of, I don't doubt EA as a company. It's more of, they've done this before. What reasons have they given me to not trust them, to actually believe them? They haven't given me any reason, which is why I'm hence concerned with the microtransactions. I mean... What are y'all thinking on microtransactions? I mean, does it scare you? Do you think this is the future of gaming? Do you think it's just going to be an EA thing? I mean, other companies do it too, such as, you know, Valve, I believe, does it with Steam sometimes, with like Team Fortress 2. Ubisoft's done it a couple times besides that, but it seems like EA is the big focus on this one because it's just... Seems like it's going to be forced. I feel like it's going to be put. They're going to make your game much more difficult just so you spend for it, and ruin your gaming experience. Maybe that's extreme, but that's my.
No, you've been EA'd.
You can say that.
They really are starting to become like really like money hungry. I mean, especially with their online passes. Like if you buy a pre-owned game, you have to buy $10 for an online pass.
Yeah.
That is dumb. And Ubisoft followed in their footsteps. So now I have Ubisoft and EA that I have to buy new games for, or I'm paying $10 to get a online pass. So I see others doing the same thing going, oh, geez, that's a great idea.
No, it's not.
We can make more money because somebody's going to sit there and be like, oh, man, I need this, and then pay money for it.
Right.
Welcome to capitalism, folks.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I don't...
Now, see, I'm on the complete opposite spectrum of the majority of you two. Part of it is I'm a PC gamer, and a lot of gaming, of PC gaming, is microtransaction. Because there's not necessarily you buy the game itself, and then that's really all you get. It's... the game itself might be free, like Steam especially. One of my favorite games on Steam is Dungeon Defenders. And there's a lesser version of that on, I believe, Xbox Live now. But it's nothing near it because they're putting all of their resources towards PC. Why? Because of microtransactions. You can buy, you download the game, it's like $10. You get like 10 maps or something and the three main classes. You want more, you buy them. Are they any better? Not really. Is it something different? Totally. I have no problem with microtransaction type business plans as long as it's not pay to win. If you cannot complete something in the game without having to pay money, outside of already purchasing the game or something,
essentially wallet warring.
Then I have a problem with it. Like DDO, there's nothing in this game in the store. Dungeons & Dragons Online, my favorite PC game. There's nothing in the store that you have to buy. There's nothing in the game that you cannot complete as a completely free, no money paid player.
It'll just take you longer.
Yeah, it'll take you quite a bit longer and quite a bit more work, but it is possible. So I have no problem if microtransactions are being used as a play style choice or as a sort of ease of living type choice. Whereas another game, Combat Arms, I hate that game so very much because they're going down the road that E3 has gone, where, hey, you can't do any of this unless you pay us money. Especially in a
kind
game,
of like,
yeah, in a game that advertises itself free to play, I really have a problem with that.
See, and that's where my next line of thinking was, are games now going to be turned into kind of like a Facebook game where it's like a freemium, and then to actually play the game, you have to go start buying and actually, you know, devote money to it. And then that worries me highly because I'm already going to be paying $60, $50 for a game, plus the internet subscription. Now, plus the online pass, if I have to buy it used, now this, it seems like, you know, I'm dropping $100 a game.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned the microtransactions, though, but you mentioned a core thing that a lot of us keep mentioning, though, is game changing. Like, not pay to win, per se, but do you think it's fair that I can go, say, if it's in DDO, I don't know how DDO works, so bear with me. Is it fair to say that I have to grind 15 hours to have a 25% of getting this mineral, or I could pay $1 or $2 and get it automatically and just get a smaller amount of it?
No, that is exactly what DDO's doing, and I have no problem with that because there is the option to get it without paying. It's just easier. If they said, here, you can only get this thing by paying us, then I would have a problem.
Okay, that makes
sense. As long as it is possible to get it. Like, but then, now see, this is for PC games. You start bringing in a retail game where I'm going to pay 30 to like 60 bucks for a game, and I'm going to sit down and expect to be able to play that game in its entirety, minus, say, DLC or something.
Right.
Which is completely...
Which EA has already its own controversy with on-disc DLC and all that, so...
But yeah, and so I expect to be able to play that game. If you're sitting here spamming with an ad, like, you can't get to this area because you didn't pay us more money, well, I'm going to be kind of pissed.
It reminds me kind of a Skylanders. As much as I love Skylanders, the game is...
Now see, that's part of why I never got into it. This is exactly...
Oh, admit it. Like, you love Skylanders.
No, this is the worst thing ever.
Well, that's because people want to collect the figures and stuff, but...
Oh, God, it's the worst thing ever.
On a side note, I saw a HeroClix game, and it made me think of you.
I actually thought HeroClix.
No, like HeroClix for mobile, and they actually had figures that you could put on your tablet screen and interact in the game with them.
Wow. Yeah, see, I quit HeroClix because it got a thing called expensive, too, so... I'd rather be a gamer than a... full-out tabletop in that sense, because you have to keep buying. That one is a wallet warrior. It did turn into that, because it's not necessarily the figures are expensive, per se. It's, they come out with a set every single month. I can't keep up with that, so...
Yeah.
But... It's the microtransactions just worry me, because it seems like I feel like game companies are going to hop on this trend, and we're not... There's no way to turn back from it. And it doesn't help. Do you know who Cliff Belinsky is?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm saying his name right, he is the original CEO or founder of Epic Games. He made Unreal and all that. Gears. Yeah. He came out and said that everyone needs to quit with their bullshit and hating on EA because of the microtransactions. And he cited that arcade games were the first microtransaction money eaters.
Yes,
and I'm like, I agree with that, but I also think back in the day, too, I was not around for the height of arcade games, obviously, but they weren't there to be beaten. There was very few games that, you know, outside of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, X-Men, which you could take $6 with you and beat the game, unless you're like at a Chuck E. Cheese's or something, where, you know, you get 4 tokens. But, It's just one of those of... yeah, the arcades did. I get that. But on the flip side of it, though, you were going there just to play around. You weren't... You went for the high score, but you weren't there. You're not going to dedicate your time to it. And they weren't telling a story. And even then, the arcades at most had Mortal Kombat and Marvel vs. Capcom and Street Fighter for the multiplayer. You weren't paying for a story versus here where you are playing for a story. And that bugs me.
Well, you got to look at it, too. It was a quarter. You paid a quarter to play your game. This, you're paying $65 for a new video game. You're paying $60 for a year subscription to Xbox Live. Then on top of that, you're paying $10 if you didn't even buy the game new to get online to play on their servers. And then at the same time, you're being bombarded with this stuff going, hey, you should buy this so you can get that. So I can see why people are getting aggravated, because we're dumping so much money and it feels like we're not getting anything in return. I don't want to see your ads. I don't care. I don't want this weapon. I just want to beat the game. I've already spent all this money on everything so that I can play this. And I think that's why everybody is upset.
Just leave me alone and let me play my game.
Now, I think his example isn't concise, because I can take a quarter to the arcade, put it in a game, and if I'm good, I won't need to put any more money into that game until I beat it.
Well, yeah, I knew where you were heading with that. The thing is, though, is a lot of arcade games were shown that the second to last level, if you were playing on easy, they would make it super hard, so you had to put more quarters in. So that is proven, I get that.
Soul Calibur, two different versions of it, with a single quarter.
And I believe you, Steve.
I know what you're saying. It is rigged.
But that's part of it.
Yeah.
But in that sense, though, you know, getting to what he says next, he says that video games are cheaper than they have ever been. So, you know, why are we complaining about microtransactions?
Well, first off,
yes, they are and aren't. Because, yes, the NES were, you know, $70-$80 games. I get that. So are the N64, but that's because they were on cartridges. We're on CDs now.
Yeah.
Even some PlayStation 4 games were $40. I'm thinking of Sly, the new Sly game. It's only $40. I think I could be wrong, and Lexi can correct me on this. The PlayStation All-Stars game was $40 or $50. It could have been full price $60, but... Back then, too, there was no set everything was going to be $60 with the rare exception, either. I completely disagree with that statement, too, that these microtransactions are needed because the games are cheaper. I 100% disagree with that, because if that's it, then why are you still selling me the game at $60? Why don't you sell it to me at $40?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's my thing. I don't want to – I've already paid for it. Why am I paying for more stuff? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it deals with, because I am a console gamer, and we've never had that before, whereon as PC, like you said, you know, everybody does it. It's like, oh, I really want that item, and I don't feel like working for it, and it's $10. I'll go ahead and buy it, because it's easy. I never had that.
I'll let you know now that 2 years down the road, when you don't play the game anymore, you will regret that $10 and wish you had it back.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you will, and that's why I never buy anything.
Personal
unless
experience,
you know,
and I never learn.
Yeah. I mean, it's that simple, and I guess that's why I just get so angry, because I don't want to keep spending all this money, because it's going to be a game I'm going to play for like a month, and then I'm going to drop.
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew, this is the why. This is why you eat the string and play with the cookie, though. So.
Yep.
Just saying. But, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I look back at my old Xbox, and, you know, I adored Star Wars Battlefront 2, and I bought the DLC for it, for the maps and all that, and for the extra, you know, hero battles. But I don't play it because, one, it's on my old Xbox, and you can't access that DLC anymore. So it's kind of like the same thing of I'm kind of regretting it because I can't even use it anymore.
Yeah.
The other part of it, too, he mentioned in his thing was, he's like, companies have to pay for... They're AAA titles that they pay millions and millions of dollars for. Okay, I get that because of marketing and all the other stuff. I get in-game ads and all that in the sense of if it's on like a billboard, I don't care if I see a Subway billboard or go trade your game in. I don't care for that, whatever. But on the flip side of it, though, I think of I don't believe that because – if you're spending that much, then you shouldn't be having a problem making the game. I mean, yeah, I understand blunders and all that, but it just, the more I read this blog, and mind you, it's Cliff, and everyone goes, oh, who let Cliff out of his box again? But it's just more and more, he's like, he keeps saying they are exactly like Valve, why are people hating on Valve? I'm like, that's because Valve doesn't charge for online, and this what you're thinking. He's like, in Valve, you can buy a $100 engagement ring. And Team Fortress 2. And I'm like, yes, but you don't have to buy it. And it doesn't change.
Outside of the gameplay.
Yeah. It's aesthetic. It's not anything. Yeah.
It looks nice, and like, that's it.
Now, the only thing I do agree with him, he's like, they're a company, and they're a business to make money. I do get that, but I'm like, saying that, though, is the same thing of, like, a tobacco company of, yeah, they're there to make money, too. It doesn't change that, yeah, their business practices kind of suck. It's like EA's business practices.
Yeah, the tobacco company. We're the tobacco
dealer,
industry.
I need to make money.
We're a business. We need to make money. So we need to keep replacing those thousands of customers we kill every day.
Pretty much. Same thing with the, it's like the alcohol industry, too, you know. They have to keep doing new things for their commercials, get people to buy and all that. So, yeah. I mean, as I said, you know, microtransactions, I feel like we're going to be talking more about this as this goes, though. So, any last thoughts, concerns, anything at all?
I'm going to say that I noticed we've been talking more about how this thing is more common in Facebook games and social games and PC games, and I'm wondering if that's the direction that EA is leaning and that this is a sign that that's more of what they want to be doing. So just my thought on that.
Well, EA, I believe, did buy a lot of the Facebook games, like Playfish. And I think they own Playdom. I could be wrong on Playdom, though. But they bought Playfish, and ironically, Playfish went, a lot of their popular games went under when EA bought them because they weren't paying attention to it, and they made everything a microtransaction, making the game unplayable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, EA got them under. I mean, if you remember any of the big games on there, such as, you know, My Empire, Restaurant City, Monopoly Millionaire, Geo Challenge, all of them, those were all Playfish, and then EA came and they eventually died in 2010 and 2011 because they're not played anymore.
Right.
And it's the same thing. It was because of the microtransaction. I mean, I played Restaurant City pretty religiously. And when EA did it, I saw very slowly they moved to that model of microtransaction. And then it became the game. I was never able to finish a recipe. I was never able to get ingredients. And the only time I ever bought anything on there was when the tsunami happened in Japan. And they had a $5 tree just decoration, but all proceeds went to...
Right.
That thing, that's different.
Yeah.
That I can deal with those type of microtransactions, but...
Now, well, yeah, I guess part of it, we have to be very careful. We seem to be mixing this microtransaction, the general business plan, which is a completely legitimate business plan, with what EA is doing, which is a bit shady. And what I call pay-to-win.
I think it's legitimate because, though, everybody could move to that model, though. It may not happen either. Well, I mean, we could be completely getting worked up for no reason. It's just, as I mentioned earlier, it's my two cents of and to think of the thought of what has EA shown me to believe them that they won't abuse this model. That's kind of what I want to leave you with. And the same thing of if EA has it, what's stopping other game companies from picking it up the same way? And I think that is something for us to think
about.
Because
they want us to buy their games?
And the one thing I mentioned, too, before we go to our next break is a lot of people mention that, you know, we want to extend the longevity of our games. Well, the best way to do that is not make your game suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or have half build and then take out the stuff and say, oh, it's DLC when you've had it all this time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are many different ways to keep longevity of a game versus...
Longevity.
Longevity.
I wasn't going
to
correct him, but thank you.
I'm just a little more OCD.
I'm just happy.
I apologize. So, you get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
There are ways to make people continue buying your game or have interest in your game.
Without using
such
tactics.
You know, it was, I mean, there's a gimmick, for example, is Halo 4. They had Spartan Ops. May have not been the best thing ever, but people got hyped about it every Sunday before the new episode was released. And it kept getting people come back, even if it was just for that Monday. You know, that's a small way to get people to come back and still buy your game. So I think there's ways to be more creative. It's just I don't think they've explored those options.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, and I think microtransactions, while being one of those options, is not the right option to go. And I think all of us here agree with that.
Yeah.
So
not for everyone, at least.
Yeah, and with it under EA's helm, oh, EA, why do you insist on giving us reasons to hate you?
Let this be a warning to other companies. Do not follow EA's example. Won't end well for you.
No.
Well, Ubisoft already is, so. But with that said, though, we're going to take a break and then come back to our final segment. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Back, everybody, to the final segment of the After Dark podcast. Originally, I mentioned that we were going to do a segment about GameSpy and I 1UP closing, but it seemed like when we talked to everybody during this break, it seems like that was more of a newsworthy segment, and we just need to see what is going on.
Just kind of watch it.
It's kind of, it's not enough for us to, it's enough for us to mention it, but not enough for us to talk about because we just don't know enough about it yet.
Yeah.
So, with that said, we're going to change it up and continue our talk instead with freemium games. But before we get to that, there was a couple news stories that came out over the past couple weeks that I think were pretty relevant to the gaming world, and I just wanted to mention a few. One of them, like Andrew pointed out to me, was the GameSpy and the 1UP closing down. I do think that's important to mention because that just means we've seen Nintendo Power and we say the PlayStation, I believe, magazines now all closed down. That's pretty big for gaming magazines considering the core of GameSpy was PC. So, but next one was Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag was announced for all you Assassin's Creed fans. I do think they're about to be hitting the Call of Duty, you know, syndrome personally. But, hey, EA, now you're ruining games. Huzzah! But now, outside of that, Destiny was revealed for the PlayStation 3, Xbox, PS4, and whatever the next box will be. And it's going to be an... I'm hearing it's just going to be called the Xbox, which would be awesome.
I've heard all sorts of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For all we know, could be called the PlayStation with a space in the middle. I mean,
The
Play Space. That would be awesome.
The Play Box U, with my favorite game, Dungeons & Dragons. Yep. I just abused that 100%. But regardless, Destiny was revealed, and it was shown to be an MMO FPS, which is completely new to...
Expected.
Yeah.
It's a very bold attempt to mix two genres.
Right, and considering Bungie's track record and considering how well they have done with FPSs, I think we have a shot for them to just give it a chance to see how it goes. So,
sure to be good on the FPS side. Whether it works well as an MMO combined with that, that's going to be the big challenge.
Right, and that which is why I said let's give it a chance before
we murder it.
We criticize or anything, because Bungie has, I will say, Bungie does meet expectations. So
yes.
Besides that, Halo 4's majestic map pack.
Majestic map pack.
Yay! Came out, and I played it, and it was a really, really good map pack. I think this is the best of Halo 4 so far, because they have Landfall, which reminds me of Turf from Halo 2, and I love Turf in Halo 2. They had Skyline, which is kind of a Halo Reach-esque feel, but it's a very, very compact map, and Monolith, which takes place on a space station, which kind of reminds me of, what was that Halo... A lot of Halo 2 map feel, and some Halo 3. But Skyline feels like sword base for anybody. But regardless, those came out. The Unreal Engine 4 was revealed. And if you have not seen that, take some time to go look at it. It is a pretty, pretty, pretty engine. I mean, if this is where gaming's going, now that I'm happy about. And then, of course, last thing is everybody can cheer with them. The Pokemon Melota event is live, finally.
Yay!
And that means that is the last Pokemon we are waiting for to go get before Gen 6. And that we'll all have Genesect. We'll all have that. And that is out probably for the rest of the month, I believe. Right, Steven?
I think till the 20-somethings, yes.
Yeah, and it's at GameStop. So just check your local GameStop. It works for regular Black and White and Black and White, too. So before I go on, Steven, did you see what the new Pokemon movie? Yes, yes.
Which one? The Genesect one?
Yeah, Genesect, yes. Reawakening of Mewtwo.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm going to have to find that somewhere. I really will. I normally don't go looking for the Pokemon movies.
But it has Mewtwo versus Genesect.
And I loved Mewtwo. I really did.
I really did, too. So, anyway, though, fanboys aside.
Yeah, clean my juices off.
Yeah.
Ew. Awkward silence. But let's move on to freemium games. We talked about the microtransactions stuff, and Steven mentioned it, and Andrew touched up on it, or Andrew mentioned it, and Steven touched up on it. Doesn't matter. I didn't mention it. But is this the way we are going with games? Or is that our future, is we're going to get a basic core game, and to get the full experience, we're going to have to start paying for it?
I would hope not, because As Lexi mentioned before she left, that would add up to costing too much for just one per game.
Right.
I know I advocated microtransactions and which basically freemium type games, but I really don't think that business model works well in a console setting because you are having to put that money down.
Yeah. I think it doesn't work in a console setting because if that's it, then, you know, is everything going to be DLC? Is everything going to be... It reminds me of Saints Row the Third, where everything was coming out for it, like, weekly, and they're just like, why didn't you release this just for the regular game?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I mean,
we're poo-poo heads.
Because we can.
Because they eat the cookie before playing with the string.
Those bastards.
Those sons of bitches. Oh, there's my word of the day. But no, I mean, to me it worries me because it seems like that with Facebook games. Of they start off great and then the microtransactions start. They don't do anything in the beginning, but then
here's looking at you, friggin' Pocket Frogs.
Here's looking at you, Restaurant City.
Actually, Pocket Frogs isn't that bad.
Restaurant City got closed down because nobody was buying. So I think
what's it? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, My Empires, that was bad. So, but I mean, it seems like for PC, it's fine because your PC games aren't costing $50, $60 a chunk versus your console games, which are, minus, you know, the Nintendo ones, because Nintendo tries to, if that's one thing Nintendo does, they do try to keep their games pretty under the national line of, if it's 60, you can count on them being about 40, 45, but it worries me with the premium games that's the model we are going towards, though. And does that mean they're going to be releasing limited editions and calling them the full game where you don't have to pay? I mean, there's so many questions that arises with freemium. I just don't understand. Does it mean I'm going to pay $10 and then end up paying the same amount when I buy all the stuff? Are they just going to release a full game and I can just buy that? Is it just going to have... Is there going to be levels that I don't have to play to unlock? To me, a freemium game, like I mentioned earlier, it reminds me of Skylanders a lot, where it gives you the game and it gives you your three basic core figures and the portal and all that. But to get more of the game, you have to go buy the figures, which, you know, that can get expensive really, really, really fast. Yeah. And it's a gimmick that works.
Well, yeah, but it's essentially like paying for DLC. It is expensive, but if you enjoy the game, you might as well put the money into it. I have no problem with that. Thing is...
Well, then let me ask you this, Steven. What's the difference between DLC and microtransactions?
I really don't see any. As long as you are able to access everything you pay for, then like what you like initially played for, you go, you buy the game, and you are expecting to be able to do this, and you are able to do all that, then that's fine. Whereas I think it's you start throwing in microtransaction when it's, hey, you can do this on the side if you pay us money.
Or making it too hard,
yeah.
And you have to advance. See,
now see if it's legitimate. If it's, I'd say like 75% of players wouldn't be able to get past it without buying something. Then that's a bit dirty. That's pushing the envelope there.
To me, I refer back to Skylanders a lot because, like I said, they follow that business model without it being that business model, and it makes me wonder of does me buying a because the disc comes with everything loaded on it, but to get access to that disc, I have to buy. It doesn't stop me from playing the full game at all, but the side missions and stuff, as you said, I have to go buy the extra figure. And now, would you consider that a DLC or would you consider that a microtransaction? Because to me, yeah, I get the cool little figure, but that to me, that's a microtransaction.
To me, that seems more like DLC.
Yeah, that.
But
except instead of downloading it, it's just
it's
there
already there. You just unlock it.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, though, I feel like that'd be DLC if it wasn't.
Well, I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Also, which by presenting like this, you're making it seem that they are, and I don't think they are.
Right.
DLC can be microtransaction.
Okay, so is it then better to say that all DLC is microtransaction, but not all microtransactions are DLC?
That would be pretty safe. I'm not going to say it's accurate, but I think that is pretty safe to say.
A bone analysis, a bare bones analysis.
Yeah.
Okay, then we need to make, like, then... Is Cliff right then from the who we discussed from the blog earlier? Is he right that we're just bitching and moaning about nothing, or is there legitimate complaints? I mean, if it's just DLC,
well,
I think it's legitimate to complain if the entire gaming industry starts leaning towards that model, because on a wide scale, it is unfair for us to be paying that much for something which realistically wouldn't be too much of a problem to just include in the core game package.
With the freemium model then taking this a step further, what would be acceptable to you as a freemium model? Should you pay like $10 a month like a subscription? And then, but you have access to everything and all the new stuff without paying?
I think that should be an option.
Should the games all come in like a bare bones, and then you just get pick your poison of you can buy each thing individually, but you won't get it. You can get, as I said, the subscription and then buy everything, which may or may not work because then, you know, if PlayStation, for example, moves to a subscription, then you have Microsoft and Sony on that, and then that you're practically paying about $20 a month with that. Or you sell the entire game. I mean, it to me, it seems like a microtransaction. It seems like DLC is fine in the sense of I understand what we'd established earlier, but it seems like DLC seems more of a chunk versus a microtransaction, which gives me ammo. Or I keep fearing that on the it's what I fear with like the portable game I mentioned earlier that EA bought for the iPad, was I'm going to have to pay every single time I want an oil change, or that I have to pick up ammo off the field. That's the stuff that worries me the most, which makes me worry of freemium games, of we're not going to be getting core games anymore, we're just going to be getting a skeleton, and we're to get the muscle, the meat of the stuff, we're going to have to pay even more for it,
right.
Which I don't think is... But I don't like the freemium model, to me, because that also...
I don't like it either.
Putting it to even a further one, which goes back to the microtransactions of... It changes your gameplay experience, because now you're having to work around those microtransactions. But... It's like I said, it's a sticky topic, but it seems like there's no right answer to it, but there seems like there's a lot of wrong answers.
Yeah.
But I do... if there's one thing I do agree with Cliff, though, is what he said about companies do have to make their money back, but how do you do it?
Well, if you stopped making crappy games, you wouldn't have.
But, yeah. If you made replayability really high, if you would stop doing things like DMC and making horrible characters,
yeah,
it would be fine.
It's like if you made your game so that lots of people liked it and wanted to buy it at reasonable price, you'd be fine. But no.
Now, Steven, you mentioned that you were a PC gamer mostly, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What would, I don't even know how I want to say this. What would translate, how does it work on the PC that it's so successful?
It works because you're not necessarily, you don't, for a lot of games, you're either paying minimal amounts or nothing for the game itself. And the microtransactions taking place within the game are either, they're usually for aesthetics or cosmetic things, not really anything that you can't get outside of the game, like through time. It's usually just a shortcut. Now, granted, people will argue on whether or not it's fair because, oh, this player can all of a sudden have all of this stuff because he bought it.
Yeah.
Well, you can get it too. It's just you have to put the time into it. And so, yeah, there's this slippery slope argument with where do you balance it? What do you offer for microtransaction? But that's really how it is. You're not paying a whole lot for the game. DDO is completely free to play. Dungeon Defender is the base game. I think I saw it on, I bought on Steam sale for like $2. And then I bought I bought the game itself and all the DLC for like $20. So.
Maybe as we're looking at it in the long way, way in the sense of it's not the microtransaction itself; it's the practice.
It's how you use. Yeah, it's what you're having to buy through the microtransaction and what you're limiting. Because the thing with the microtransaction is either you're limiting something, or you're giving someone more options.
Right.
And if you're limiting something, I don't approve of that. But part of why I don't like microtransactions with a console is you're already having to pay. The production price isn't low enough to put out the game and then still be able to justify the microtransaction. DLC,
yeah.
Debate, it's understandable if it's not already on the disc. If you're selling, and I know we've talked about that a bit, but if you're selling DLC that is already loaded on the disc, I'm not really a fan of that. That's part of why I haven't gotten into Skylanders. I just think it's kind of dirty.
is.
So.
I mean, there's dirty tactics. I've heard about Skylanders enough where people go and buy the figures.
Mm-hmm.
Don't open them from the package. Just put them on the thing and then return them the next day. So they don't have to
do that.
So, I mean, it's.
But I think that's really what it is. The consoles or handhelds, even handhelds are doing it some, like with Skylanders. You can't really justify the production price of the physical game versus the microtransaction. You're still going to have to pay 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks for the game itself.
Yeah, and which translates then to freemium games and all that of it's not a great idea. That it seems like this would only hurt gaming companies and just give them a bad image.
Right. I don't think this is it's a good idea for console games.
I mean, I don't see how you can make a freemium game and just get away with it and expect people to like that model. Because it seems like everyone wants the core game or something. They're willing to settle at a subscription, but not willing to do that broad of, I don't want to pay for my ammo. I don't want to keep paying. I don't want the game to make things harder where I'm forced to buy money.
Right.
I think that's the obvious one. I don't want things to be intentionally placed where I have to buy something to get past that. That's one of them, too. I mean, there's so much with it. And like I said, I don't even know if... I think it's safe to say that the freemium model is not going to work. That freemium works for, like, on-the-go, like, Angry Birds, I think this is a good analogy, what we used earlier. Freemium works for arcade. It does not work for a full gaming experience. Is that a safe to say?
Yeah,
or?
I'd agree with that.
I think relatively, yeah, that's... I can't really disagree with that, per se.
And the freemium model, then, to an extent, also works for the, what's it called, the PC games, too. That one works more for it. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I noticed, to me, this is a dirty practice, is it seems like if they go with the freemium model, they're going to count on the uneducated mass, which is a lot for video games, to buy it because they don't know what they're doing.
Well, or people that, they're actually able to make $30 off a game that costs you nothing to buy, and for them, basically nothing to make once the code's already written, and people are having to spend $30, $40, $50 because they're unlocking stuff in-game, and that I can't agree with that.
My other thing, too, is I think that freemium games, concerning the microtransactions and all that, it seems like with a microtransaction versus a DLC, which I think is a legitimate comparison here, is DLC kind of benefits the gamer, and it's not really lining the pockets, per se, of the company. I mean, yeah, they're going to get some of the profit of it and all that, but it's going back to develop more on that game, such as map packs, such as balancing issues and all that. But concerning, like, microtransactions, it's just a quick buck. I mean, what purpose does a microtransaction serve? And saying it's going to go to the development of a game, I don't believe that. I mean, I have not been convinced by
anything. No, it's
usually
money in their pocket. But a microtransaction, well, first off, a microtransaction is just any, most companies right now, any purchase, like, 20 or under.
Yeah.
And it's what you're doing with the microtransaction. Because I think you're being completely bigoted if you're saying microtransactions are bad. Because it's not. It's a perfectly usable business model. It's just, what are you doing with that? Like, are you limiting their core gameplay, or are you adding more options? And that's really, I think, where the difference is.
Yeah. And I think it's more or less they are limiting options. So, well, let's wrap this up, though. What, final thoughts on freemium and all that?
I like freemium. I really do. I just don't think it's for every format. Not console.
So, not console. So, freemium is fine, just not console.
Yeah, that would be my feelings, too.
Your feeling, too, Andrew? Well, why?
Well, having played a few games with microtransactions in them before, I can safely say that I do see the appeal of it, and I do see how it can be a good business model. It worked on me. But...
You poor, poor soul.
Yeah. And I'd rather not see that happen to console gaming as well.
Do you think, just as a final thought, do you think that's why a lot of people went to console gaming, was because that happened in the PC market?
Possibly, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because like I said, I don't play PC. But I play some of the games and stuff. Like, I play Marvel Avengers Alliance on Playdom, but that's it. But
yeah.
I think it's kind of fair to say that that is a safe assumption, so. But I think that's a pretty much a good wrap-up on freemium. Just, I know we talked a lot about the microtransactions, but it's because they're kind of hand-in-hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Microtransactions lead to freemium, or freemium lead to the microtransactions. Or / DLC, however you want to call it. At least, to me, there's a difference, at least, with DLC. A company's developing it, and they're getting their money back for developing something for the gamer versus a quick buck. But that's me. So we're going to take a final break right here and come back with our final thoughts from the podcast, anything else we want to mention, and just go on to what we'll probably talk about in the next one, if we have that. So stay tuned. back. I think today was an interesting podcast. We got a new staff member, Lexi, to talk about.
Yay.
She did a great job. Thank you, Lexi. Unfortunately, Nick and Elijah weren't here, but they should be back. Our topics were pretty interesting today. PlayStation 4, microtransactions, and freemium content. And anything off top of y'all's head you can think about?
Lords of Shadows?
That... Lords of Shadows, of course, Lords of Shadow. What about you, Andrew? Anything off top of your head?
I'm drawing a blank.
Now, are you literally drawing a blank on, like, a whiteboard or, like, a piece of paper or just drawing a blank?
He has
I'm
white
drawing
crayon.
A blank on my bedroom wall.
I knew it. I knew it, Andrew. I knew we had an artist here, Steven. But
no, I'm not an artist. I'm just... I doodle.
Doodle the Mona Lisa, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. But outside of that, I can't think of anything else, though. I think I'm going to be starting the original Ratchet & Clank soon. So.
Ooh, fun.
I heard it's a great one, and unlike everybody who says backwards compatibility isn't important, I'm actually going to go back and actually use my PS2 because I don't own a PS3 and play Ratchet & Clank. So, but
yeah.
Outside of that, I've got nothing, guys. So next week, though, we're going to try and continue this trend of having a general topic for the month to talk about games.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't really have anything set in stone right now for next week's podcast, but right now we have the anniversary editions and reboots we wanted to talk about, just like the game itself and then the loss of the sad, sad day of the game manual. Though, as I said, topics are very, very flexible, and they may change from here and now. We might have audio issues, and we may completely lose it. So bear with us, though, with all this, as we are still learning ourselves on this side. But regardless, be sure to always keep sending us in questions. We love answering your questions. I think it's awesome that all of us can answer it in a different way. Like, while we all think the same, we still have our different ideals and stuff, that there's no right or wrong, except in EA's case. EA is always wrong.
Yep.
But outside of that, so be sure to play your games 90% through and try and get all the achievements, because so many new games are coming out, so many different games are being developed, and you just don't get to appreciate those games anymore, usually. So try and get 90% on your achievements, as we always push. Whenever we make it, we are still developing it. Be sure to subscribe us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube if you're listening to us in the future on this episode and you weren't part of it now, but it exists in the future for it. And be sure to leave your comments in the below section before our podcast. Besides that, though, that's everything I got. So this is After Dark Podcast signing out.
Woo-hoo.